Welcome to the Heart Journey Podcast, also known as the Whole Life Podcast Show. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Losove, also known as Dr. Barbara Lowe, and I'm coming to you as a minister, but I also happen to be a psychologist. And so here we look at all things where our Jesus and faith encounter psychology. We're in the middle of our From Codependence to Christ Dependence series, and today is our Flashback Friday. Flashback in a good way, like get out those 80s cassette tapes because we are going to have some really good content today. Today, I'm taking you back to the World Women's Wholeness Summit in 2021 to an interview with Darlene Check. She is the writer of Shout to the Lord and several other amazing worship hymns and songs that were really a part of my early Christian life. And just really helped us focus our eyes on Jesus. Darlene, Pastor Darlene is going to talk to us about ways God has moved her from codependence to Christ dependence and how she has learned to worship the Lord. Remember, codependence is a worship disorder, and we're moving from worship of people and self and getting our needs met from people. So it's a selfish ambition, moving that unto worship of Jesus and getting our needs met through the Trinity. So enjoy this talk by Darlene Check from 2021. Women of the world, I am so excited that we have Darlene, Pastor Darlene Check with us today from Australia, and she is here to invest in you. She's a Jesus lover. We were just having a pre-party and we were just talking about, you know, it's so good to be. We feel like nothing's and nobody's in Daddy's big house. And I just want to thank you, Darlene, because you certainly have not been a nothing and a nobody in my life or any of our lives. But I want to thank you for being with us and tell us a little bit about who you are for those who are new to you.
Yeah, sure. Well, my name is Darlene Check. I am married. I've been married 37 years this year. Three beautiful daughters, two son-in-laws, five grandchildren. I've been leading worship probably since I was 22, 23. Got saved when I was 15. I was already living out of home, out of a bit of a messy time in our family. And I got radically encountered the love of God. And, you know, there have been bumps along the way for sure, you know, but we sit here now, we spend a whole chunk of our time at Hillsong Church in those early days, 27 years, and then God called us to pastor together, which we never, the only thing we'd ever said in our married life that we didn't want to do was to be senior pastors. And here we are, and we're 10 years in, we just celebrated 10 years on the weekend, and we absolutely love it. That's not saying it's easy because it's not, but I'm a church girl. I love the kingdom of God. I love the church, not just, you know, little pockets of it. I love the church. I love who she is. I think she needs to be bold and bright in these days. And I love women, and I'm a great believer in women. You know, having three daughters myself who are all very, very different, and now three granddaughters who are very, very different. You know, I'm a big believer in women and the importance of women taking their place at the table. You know, there's still so many pockets of the world that women are not seated at the table and we need to be. So, that's a little snapshot of me. I'm still songwriting and leading worship. I'm leading worship this weekend. And, you know, worship has been, people know me more around the worship space. And it sounds funny, and I don't get my identity from leading worship, but through worship, I encountered the presence of God. And through that journey, I've discovered who I really am, you know. So worship to me is like the precious jewel that I treasure in my life because, yeah, it's my entry point into the courts of God. So there you go, snapshot.
Yes. Well, you know, I think about the story of Esther and before she asked, the Lord reminded me of Esther this morning when I was before him and Lord's been getting me up early. And so I've been spending a lot of time with the Lord. And, you know, when you have hours with him, you're going to like, okay, well, how should I structure it? I want you to lead it. And I felt like the Lord just said, you know, Esther, before she asked me for anything, or before she asked the king for anything, ministered to the king. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? You know, you just go and you minister to him. And then the Lord's like, oh my gosh, tell me up to half my kingdom.
Yeah, right, right. What do you need, babe? What do you need? Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was wondering if we're going to get into worship and how worship makes us whole, and about deep intimacy, the deep courts of God. But before we go there, because the summit also, we start out with wholeness, and then we're going to move into unity with God and each other, and then we're going to move into purpose and the fire of God. Yeah. But it sounds like that you had some beginnings that were, like all of us, that were not as whole. Like, it sounds like there were some rough things going on. Yeah. Can you talk to us a little bit about the process of God bringing forth wholeness? And before you do, let me share that everyone, that those of you watching the summit know my story probably pretty well by now. And I grew up with pretty much every kind of abuse you could imagine. And I've been through divorce, had a child die, my dad died by suicide. And so I've also had a lot of adult stuff, but you know what? I'm happy and I feel very loved. And it's been a process. And so, so I want you to feel comfortable, you know, sharing any part of your story that you might like to share. And I wanted to be vulnerable first with you.
Oh, you're so lovely. Look, my journey in a personal way and intimacy with God has and is still a journey that I guess when I started, you know, The first thing that really encountered me was just the love of God. And, you know, as I said, living out of home, I was feeling a lot of rejection. I was feeling a lot of responsibility, being the eldest child, trying to help negotiate things for my siblings, and being so young. I had this, it was like a martyr kind of syndrome that I lived with on my shoulders, that I kind of had to fix everything for everybody. And I think often with eldest children, you know, you can take on those kind of responsibilities as children. And, you know, as I grew up into Christ, I had to get some help around that and had to learn through worship in the kindness of God, where I would feel very safe and he would teach me how to cast my cares on him. And I learned over years, Barbara, not over days. You know, some miracles happen in a moment, mm-hmm. and some miracles happen over a lifetime. And, you know, I've got both at work in my life. That miracle of casting, I had to learn, like, casting is not a passive effort. It's not, woo, let's cast. It's like, when you cast to fish, you cast. It's like, it's intentional. There's energy behind it. And I had to learn from an early age, God's like, cast your cares on me. Throw them to me. Be bold in your expression. You know, so that's one element. I had another element. I'll do three. I had another element where, you know, I'd grown up, I'd been singing since I could talk. You know, my mom, God bless my mom, she's so beautiful. She had me singing in anywhere that would listen. I grew up on television in our nation. You know, when I was 13, I was, you know, already earning good money and, you know, being paid to sing from an early age. But I had learned how to perform, and I had learned how to kind of please people, and it was kind of my default. And that's been another, you know, over years, you know, God, one day I was in an airplane going to sing somewhere, and he said to my heart, he said, you never have to perform for me. Uh-huh. You're not for sale. I already bought you with a price. So you just have to be. Just be with me. You don't have to be anything. Just be. And so that, again, has, I mean, it's held me like an anchor to the it's like tied me to the heart of God, just remembering again how much he loves me. And then, you know, fast forward then all these years, having children, you know, no money to a lot of money to everything in between. And I can, you know, I say that because I think it's good for people to hear that. And, you know, when you've got no money and your kids are little and you've got all these dreams and, you know, all of that stuff. When I was in my early 40s, I got breast cancer and got very, very sick and went through chemo and went through all those things and, you know, a couple of times thought I was not going to make it. And just before that journey, a lady in our church, she hands me this journal and I keep it with me. And she, the Holy Spirit had told her to start writing out scriptures and things he would reveal to her about his love for me. Mm-hmm. And so when I told her that I had cancer, she pulls out of her bag. She goes, oh, okay, well, that's no problem. Now, God has given me, you know, she literally just hands me this book that she, you know, all her handwriting is in here. And it's scripture after prophetic word after prophetic word on the love of God for me. Because I struggled with, you know, God asked me one day, do you know that I love you? And I said, well, I thought I did. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't feel like love. This is like punishment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, next thing I know, I have a handwritten book of promises from God in my hand.
God literally gave them to her for you?
For me. Before and literally in the moment, she hands this to me. And so to me, it's just like God, the whole of my life, he's been revealing to me at different layers, different levels, different seasons, his love for me. And now I literally have my own book of his love for me, and I take it everywhere with me when I'm ministering, when I'm just driving in the car. I have my book with me. And those times when you struggle, you know, I can just open to any promise and I just read another promise. And so I've been writing these books now for people in my world. My son-in-law right now is walking through cancer. He's, you know, it's been really tough. And I'm like, right, okay, Holy Spirit, give me, you know, I'm going to write these books because there's something about writing down, you know, it says write it down, make a plan, make the vision plain. This has been like a vision for my heart written down. And I think often when we face circumstances in life, you know, you can equate that to love. It's like, no, God's love is so much deeper and greater and higher and wider than any of that. And so we come to him as a loving father and ask him to reveal to us what he's trying to reveal to us on the journey. So that's one thing.
Our daddy is so good. Kind. You know, sometimes we try to love him more than what we've received. In other words, we get it backwards. Yeah. I remember when I went through divorce, before that I had tried so hard to be perfect and I messed up a little bit in the middle of there. Yeah. That time frame, I was just so weakened and I realized, oh my gosh, I think he's holding me more than I'm holding him. And that was like foreign to me because growing up, well, my husband didn't hold on to me. And then my parents didn't hold on to me. I was actually homeless part of my senior year because my parents didn't want me. And you know, so this feel to begin to have God reveal that he loves me, that he wants me, that he's holding on to me. So powerful.
Radical, Ryan. It's radical. And when you read through the scriptures and you look about at the importance of us understanding the love of God, because, you know, that shapes our identity. When you know that you matter and you belong and that you're believed in and all of this stems from love, the greatest of these is love. And I see the enemy messing with that on so many levels around the planet, you know, and when a woman doesn't know she's loved, she tries to find it because we need it. We can't breathe without understanding that at some level. And so, you know, we try and find it and then we make these kind of mini versions of what we think it's going to be loved, and we end up messing it up. And so, you know, one of my big passions, and again, through worship, you know, when there's those extended times of worship, and I always remember Matt Redman saying when I was a lot younger, he said, there's many things that God will never reveal to the casual worshiper, right? Yeah, and so it's like those extended times of when we're in his presence, there's so many things that happen in there where he reveals his love, and it's our, you know, it's our secret place, it's our safe place. And, you know, so I spend a lot of my time encouraging women around understanding and basking in the love of God, because it literally does change you.
Yes. It, with clients, because I'm a psychologist as well as a minister, but a lot of times I'll say, I think it would be really good for you to just spend a good full year just studying the love of God.
Yeah. Wow.
It would transform.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And sometimes people are so holding on to what I need to do better. And not the grace. And I know grace and truth, you can't quite divide it that way, but it's just a good way to think about it.
Well, because when you understand, when you receive the grace of God, you do better. So if we try to clean up first, and he's like, what are you doing? Just come to me, be with me, sense me, receive me. And then from that place, you're going to be great. You're going to be great. Yeah.
Well, for those of you who have are maybe newer to the faith or younger in age than me, you might not know that Darlene Check had probably the greatest modern hymn of our age with Shout to the Lord. And you must have been pretty young when that was out, because I think we're around about the same age, you know, and I have grown kids as well and two grandkids. So I'm thinking about the pressure. What was that like for you? How were you able to hide in the Lord?
Yeah, there were a few moments that, you know, like when you write a song, you write it in, when you're writing worship, right? You're writing it as your offering, like it's mm-hmm. just between you and God.
Yeah.
So when I brought that song to the table, I'd already sat on it for a little while, and I was a very unconfident songwriter. So I took it to my worship pastor then and our music director, and, you know, I had them stand with their backs to me while I played it and sang it, because I was so embarrassed. I'm like, and I would play, my Jesus, my Savior. Change that line if you want to, because, you know, it's probably no good. Lord, there is none like you. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry. That's how I introduced the song to these guys. And by the end of it, they're like, that's so beautiful. And we ended up singing it that weekend and during an offering. And I'll never forget when we sang it, it's like people just started to stand, and there was this response that I'd never seen before, and it was magnificent. And literally went, you know, as soon as it left my hands, it kind of left my life. It was like one of those moments, and it just went. And I've never really seen anything like it. And this is all before internet, like
it truly went viral before viral.
It was viral.
I heard it everywhere. Even now, I have goosebumps just thinking, just hearing that little bit that you sang. It had the presence of the Lord on it like no other song, honestly. Oh, I mean, beautiful. There's some really good ones out right now. Waymaker, you know, has been a song.
There's some incredible songs.
There. Yeah, so many talented, wonderful, Jesus-loving hearts writing beautiful songs, you know. Yeah. Stephanie Gretzinger is in this summit, and she's a friend of mine, and oh, she is such a pure
I know,
pure,
she really is.
pure heart. If you haven't seen her interview, y'all, you got to see it. She really is just a Jesus-loving girl. In fact, she's, yeah, I mean, she's even like, there's some songs that are just between me and God, and I'm not going to give them to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it really is like intimacy between a husband and a wife.
Yeah. And that's the beauty. And so I, you know, after that song kind of left my life, you know, there were some times in church that were so weird. I remember walking out one day to lead worship, and there were these record kind of executives sitting in the front row, and I walked straight back out the back, and I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I can't do this. And our worship pastor at the time is just like, don't even worry about it. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Yeah. It just felt like all of a sudden there was some shifts happening. And I felt like there were some kind of vultures at the bottom waiting for to grab. And I know that wasn't the heart of it, but it was kind of how I was feeling. And
right, because there was money on the table too.
Yeah. So, you know, that I think that with me, you know, I've spent years talking to some of our young writers around the planet, just saying, you know, as soon as money changes hands when it comes to worship, and I have no problem with people receiving royalties, and you know, I have over many years, and but it's like, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. This is where the writers of worship and those who are receiving, you know, finance with it, it's like, guys, that's not anyone else's responsibility. Yeah. That is your responsibility. That is my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And if God is asking us to keep our heart with all diligence, he also knows the temptation for the heart to wander.
Yeah.
And you know, so I'm a bit of like a dripping tap when it comes to worship with all of these things, because I think it is, again, taking something so beautiful, and it can so quickly shift, you know. So, yeah, that's been as a young woman, that was a massive pressure at the start. And then I decided it wouldn't be. Like, I never, and still to this day, I never looked at any royalty statements. I never looked at anything like that. I asked my husband to protect me from any of that. And so with all these years, I still really don't have a clue.
Oh, that's perfect. I love that.
And I just made that decision because, yeah, I just like, God, you know my heart. You know, I never wanted to be paid. I never wanted to, you know, and when that notoriety and things like that, it can shift things. I'm like, well, okay, this is what I can do to safeguard one area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Real example.
Another beautiful heart in this summit is in this conference is Pastor Alex Seeley, and she's,
I love Alex.
Yeah, and I love the way that she addresses belonging and culture within her church, which is right in the middle of Nashville.
Yeah,
right where there are a lot of people who've been hurt. Yeah. I think because of the business. The music business, and even, well, anyway, so I just love the Jesus culture that's there with Alex.
Yeah.
All right. Can we talk about how to go into the deep places of worship? Because God is calling us to worship like never before.
Yeah. This is, I love that you ask that question, because I think there needs to be a new intentionality around this space. And, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, a casual fling with God is never going to draw you into those deeper places. And as the psalmist kind of was writing, deep calls unto deep, and hungering after the depths of God. I think that one of the one of the challenges in the West, we find this more in the West, is that we're so comfortable. We don't like discomfort. But the Bible says, you know, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. And there's something about staying hungry and staying thirsty, you know, for the depths and the riches of God. And we don't like being hungry.
I say as a Christian, if you're not hungry, you're not healthy.
That's exactly right.
But
we live in this world. It's like, I can just pick up my phone and do a 30-second devotion and go, yes, boom. And you know, that's better than nothing. So I'm not discounting that. But if you want to really hear the secrets of God and understand his nature toward you and hear him speak toward you, you know, I don't find intimacy with my husband in a 30-second moment. You know, it takes time. It takes intentional moments, and it takes a hunger to go there. And I implore, can you hear my passion? I implore people to, in a time-poor world, make the time. Mm-hmm. Make it, you know, block it out in your week. I have lots of times in my week that are blocked out, and people say, well, what are you doing there? Actually, it's an appointment. I can't move. So we'll do whatever we need to do another time. It's an appointment. I can't move, because to me, it's an appointment with my God. Appointment as we walk and pray and talk, and you know, some things I can talk to him about quickly, but actually some things that I don't understand myself, it's going to take a little bit more time to unravel those things. So there you go.
I've even been going before him and being like, I don't even think I want to talk, because I just want to hear.
Yeah,
I just want to, what do you want to talk about? One time I went before him and I said, God, what are you saying? And the first thing he showed me was something that was kind of for me. Like he said, I'm gonna take you up into my attic and reveal to you the heirlooms in my word that have been forgotten. Isn't that awesome? But then I said, listen to this, because that's kind of like, we love to hear those things. Yeah. And I said, but God, what's on your heart right now?
Yeah.
And he literally said, well, actually, I'm half all joy and pleasure over my church and half on fire for my suffering church. Ooh. And I felt like there's something about God where he's like, are you sure you want to know?
Yeah.
Like he, in other words.
I've heard him say that to me before.
Yeah.
I've heard him say, are you sure you want me to tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, it's such a overwhelming weight when you hear it. You're like, oh, I mean, you couldn't have come up with that, Barbara. It's like that was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Yeah.
Because in that moment, you realize how little you've thought about the suffering church that day, you know, but he didn't say it with condemnation, and he's just so good. I just want to know him more.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, there was a day, and I've written about this, when I was walking through that cancer journey, and, you know, there's a part of that journey that, it sounds funny if I say I miss this part of that journey, because I just was on my knees all day, every day, you know, and there are things that you learn in those spaces, which now I'm, you know, well and strong and out and about. And it's like the suffering takes you into places that you don't have the same kind of access to when you're on this mountaintop. And, you know, so I have to be very intentional even in that. So, you know, one day I was just praying and pleading and in worship, and my heart was very raw, and, you know, I just wanted him, nothing else, just him. And he says to me, we're going to walk through the places of your heart. that's odd. Okay, sure, I invite you. And he says, yeah, because there's still pieces of unforgiveness in there that I need to deal with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the what? You know, because I lay my heart bare before the yeah. Lord. I've learned to do that. And it wasn't until in that depth of suffering and that depth of just me and him that I literally kind of welcomed him into that journey. And it really, I guess, you know, it was hard, not easy. I had to, you know, walk through the recesses of your heart and start to bring forgiveness to the table yeah. on things that I thought I had dealt with a long time ago. But he's gentle and he's kind and he's yeah. he only wants my good.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm telling you that because, again, it reminds me of the importance when life is chugging along beautifully that actually we still have to make time for those things because otherwise we're going to miss it. We're going to miss some of those deep, cause unto deep moments that we are born to have him revealed to our hearts yeah. and then to walk others through that process to him in those ways. So, you know, I think the living in the tension of that is something that we can really go to him very intentionally to make sure that we are having that intentional time.
I know what you're talking about the seeking him in those weak places. I remember as my heart began to heal over time, I began to get a little concerned, like how am you know, all those years of asking for healing and then you're healed and you're like, I was so used to being so intimate with him over my weaknesses. But you know what he did is he said, well, a short time after that, I was in a situation where I was like, God, I felt kind of over my head in ministry. That felt kind of panicky. And he said, yep, I'm going to keep you there because yeah. you've asked me to be that lamb around my neck. Yeah. You know, and with that yeah. weak, with that broken leg, so that your face and my face are right here together. And so yeah. he's going to keep bringing me over my head. So I'm like, yeah. okay, Lord.
I feel like that every day. I'm going to tell you. I feel like it every day. But, you know, as you've said, it makes you really aware of your dependence on God. And I would much rather be there
yeah.
than be walking around feeling like, hey, I got this. It's like, yes. no, you have not.
yes. not. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we really want to encourage y'all to press in and to ask him, you know, even ask him, how much time do you want me to spend with you? You know, Pastor Darlene, I was thinking about William Seymour, who was the pastor for Azusa Street, the leader of it, a revival that many of us are still benefiting from.
Yeah.
And he was spending 5 hours a day with God. And he wanted more breakthrough or more intimacy with God. And God said, you need to spend more time with me. And so we started spending 7 hours a day with him. And, you know, when I was a younger Christian, it was like God would reward me for doing little things, kind of like that first visitation Jacob had when he was running away from his brother. And all he did was put a stone under his head. And he's like having, you know, seeing angels, having a dream. But later on, he had to learn how to hold on to God.
Yeah.
You know, and he had to learn to hold on to God through the whole night. And I think as we grow, God teaches us to really press in, to dig deep, to learn how to hold on to God. And there's no, you can't buy him. It's mm-hmm. got to be time and intention.
Yeah, time and intention. I think that's those two words keep coming around. Yeah.
Is there anything else? I'm going to ask you to pray for us in a minute, if that's okay.
Yeah.
That the Lord would take us into these deep places of worship. Yeah. Yeah. But is there anything else that's on your heart to share with the women of the world? Because we have a huge audience watching right now.
Yeah. Well, there's just a scripture that I've been really, it's just like fire in my belly out of Hebrews, and it's around worship. But it says this, it says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, right? And that's the first thing I want to say to everyone. I want you to remember that we're part of a kingdom that is not going anywhere. God's church may be, people can try to beat it up and can try and minimize it, but actually the kingdom of God is the one thing that is not going to go anywhere, right? Strength to strength, glory to glory, the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And all of us have this kingdom seed alive in us, you know, and so we water it through the word and we water it through worship and intimacy with Christ. And I want to really encourage the women of the world around that. But it says, so let us have grace. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And, you know, when I read that and I read just about, you know, people land on fire, but actually I continue to land on grace and go to remember that as we enter into his courts with praise, you know, praise is our key, enter into his courts with praise and be very intentional about time, just lengths of time with him, not hurried time.
Yes.
You know that, you know, when you're sitting in the car with your kids and there's a hurriedness about it, don't get to the depths of the conversation. But when there's time and intention and an openness, it's incredible to me what comes out. And that's exactly the same as our Father, our Daddy God in heaven is asking us. And it's as we receive his grace and as we go deeper with him, that consuming fire, he doesn't want to harm us. He's trying to burn away the stuff that is of no significance or no help to your life or my life. So I just want to encourage women today to receive this kingdom that cannot be shaken. Receive the grace of God. Worship in him in his courts. Allow him to change you. Glory to glory, strength to strength. He's a good father and he only wants good things. And look, I always say, if it's not good, you know, if you're in the middle of the fire and it's not good, then it's not over, you know, because he's working all things together for good for those who love and trust him, called according to his purpose.
Yes,
so
yes.
Be encouraged, women, today. Our God, he loves you so much and he only wants the best for you. Allow him to come. Welcome him to come into those recesses of your life. And trust him in the journey in Jesus' name. Trust him in the journey. He is a good, good father.
Amen. Pastor Darlene, would you, that was beautiful. And actually, our God is a consuming fire. I have been meditating on like fiercely. Right. I'm like, what does that mean? What does it mean that he's going to baptize us with fire? You know, because if it's him, I want it.
Yeah.
So would you pray for us?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'll just say, I was talking to a friend yesterday. We were talking about this subject and she was like, I didn't believe in the fire and I believe, you know, in Holy Spirit taking hold of us and da 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 da. And I was telling her last year in Israel and my experience in the upper room and we were going through, I mean, that's another day. We'll talk about that another day. But okay. She said, I even went to this revival. And I went home after 5 days going, oh, God, this is just nothing. This is all hoopla. And she said, and just before I got into my hotel room, the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of my heart and said, really? Do you want this? And she says, I think so. I think so. Because the unknown, right? And literally consuming fire. 3 hours later, she's like... And she's literally never been the same. She's never been the same. But she's like, it just sounds so scary. And I said, but it's fire grounded in love.
Yes.
You know, so it's not fire, you know.
No. It's not destructive fire. It's constructive. It's wild, crazy, passion, love fire.
Yes. So anyway. I would love to pray for you all. And I would look, I'd love to sit down and have a coffee with you one day, Barbara. It would be
definitely.
One day. Well, Father, we just thank you for today. I just thank you for Barbara, and I thank you for what you're doing in and through her life. I thank you that you've taken the broken things and you're like pouring your grace through this beautiful, beautiful vessel. And I just thank you that through that yieldedness that so many, just hundreds of thousands of people are receiving just a beautiful sense of healing. And Lord, I pray that right now for anyone listening, I pray that healing balm, Father God, that people would literally receive right now your healing power in their hearts, in their bodies, in their minds. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you are so good. You are incredibly so, so good. And we love you so much. I pray for like on the wings of worship, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to grab the hearts of your women, that we will always remember to stand resplendent in your presence, Father, as a true daughter, as someone who knows that they're loved. And for those who are suffering under the hands of someone who has not shown them love, who has not shown them what true love is, Father, I just thank you that you will continue to comfort and heal and restore. It's who you are. You are our Savior and you are our Restorer, our Redeemer, and we love you so much. Bless this gathering, bless this conference, bless every person under the sound of my voice, Father. And I just thank you that you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We give you all the honor and all the glory in your precious and most powerful name. And everybody said a great amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. I just love being with my Jesus fire girls. You know, we're just
come on.
I don't know if you ever saw that old claymation Land of Misfit Toys Christmas special, but I feel like I feel like most of us feel like we're misfit toys and that Jesus rescued. You know, that we were on the Land of Misfit Toys, and
that is me. That is me.
The Samaritan woman, she was an outcast among outcasts, and she ended up being God's next big thing. You know, history records her as great as the apostles, and she was one of the first martyrs. So, yay. Well, where can we find out more for those who are interested in your music or anything else that you're doing?
I'm trying to think. I don't even know. Darlene.check. I think just look up Darlene Check. You'll find it.
YouTube,
Our church is called Hope You See. Hope You See. So you can go to hopeyousee.com and you find out, you know, there's lots of preaching and worship and all that stuff. So, but look, be blessed. I love you to pieces. And I'm actually feel really honored to have spent this time with you, Barbara. Thank you so much.
Oh, that was so good. I love that if you're not hungry for the Lord, you're not healthy for him. I'm hungry to do his will. Jesus said, I've come to do your will. And Lord, oh Lord, we come to do your will. We want our life to be Christ-centric, that he's in the center and our lives circle around him at his command, at his pace, at the pace of grace. If you are struggling with rejection or you are struggling with wounds, I have two free resources for you at drbarbaraministries.org/rejection. And the other one is /self-parent. These tools will help you heal from rejection. Also, you'll get on our email list and you'll be notified when we come out with new content. We're podcasting 3 times a week now to help you become more whole, to go on the heart journey from, in particular now, codependence to Christ dependence. We all sin in many ways, and we pass that sin down to our children. Our ancestors passed it down to us in the trauma, and we are working to stop the cycle and to live fully and wholly from a pure heart in Jesus' name. We're learning to guard the wellspring of our heart, for from it come the issues of life. I love you. I am with you. Make sure you're following us on YouTube. Also, all the places where you can listen to podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, etc. Also, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We put this content out for you to help you grow and to help you be whole. You have all of our love, and I'll see you in all the familiar places. Mwah. Bless you.